Councilmember Edna DeVries.
Present.
Councilmember Linda Combs.
Present.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
I'm just here.
Councilmember Richard Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Brad Hansen is absent. And Mayor Delana Johnson?
Present.
Thank you.
Councilmember Combs, would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item of business is the approval of the agenda, which includes the consent agenda and the minutes from previous meetings. So move, Your Honor.
Second.
So that will include the minutes of the previous meetings, July 26, 2016 regular meeting. We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor of the approval of the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. All right, we have approved the agenda. We have our first communication and parents request is the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Advisory Board Chair. Welcome to our council meeting.
Thank you. I should sign in here?
Yeah, go ahead. You don't have to. No, because you're already here.
All right.
If you would state your name and tell us your position on the board.
Okay. My name is Maggie Obie, and I am the chair of the Palmer Parks Recreation and Cultural Resources Advisory Board. I've been chair for just a couple months now. We had some swapping with some of the chairs that had left, and so I'm just the new chair. And I'm here to talk to you guys about some of the things that we've done since January to August of 2016. I think you all have copies of a list that Sandra Garley made. A short list of things. I can go through it if you want, or if you want to ask me specific questions or details on some of the things we've done. I can point out a couple things that I think were the most important or the biggest things we did. One of them was to work on this policy for memorial donations, because there are so many things that had come up to the city, people asking to donate different things, park benches, picnic tables and such. So we spent about 6 months, I would say, working on that policy. And I think you guys have seen it and you wanted it to be reformatted in a different format that we weren't aware of when we first made it. So I think that's what's happening right now with that, is we're just working on reformatting. But it was something we put a lot of time into, thinking of all these different criteria and things for donations. And I think you all have seen a copy of that. But that was a big project that we worked on as a committee. We've worked a lot on the Arboretum, and you can see a couple of points on that. We've heard a lot of proposals on different things. There are ideas of improving the skateboard park, and we're just kind of, a couple of things we have to wait on that is approval from the railroad company, because some of it would be encroaching on the tracks that are there, and things like that, and then also funding. So that's probably a future project. Me and Jan Newman have submitted a grant to hopefully get more bicycle racks in the city around downtown. That's a big thing that we've been talking about since I got on the committee a year ago. It's just that we have a lot of bikers in Palmer, but we don't have a lot of infrastructure to help with biking. So that's been one of our big goals, is trying to address that issue. So we're waiting to hear back from that grant on the bicycle racks, and hopefully we'll know more and we'll be able to. We just had to submit a letter, and then we get to apply in September if they liked our initial letter. And then the most recent thing we started talking about was a possible reservation process for renting areas around town, parks and gazebos and pavilions and things like that. So that's kind of briefly what we've worked on. I don't know if anybody has any questions on anything that we've been doing.
Councilmember Rose.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So when you talk about the Arboretum concept, mm-hmm. that's actually the larger area than just the Arboretum itself, correct?
Yeah, and I think you probably have all seen this map, right, that has all the things. Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been talking a little bit in our meetings. So, yeah, just not only the Arboretum, but also that big field area by the airport, that just ideas for developing that.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Councilmember LaFrance.
Thank you.
As far as the bike racks go, if I recall correctly, initially there was talk about having a design competition and maybe some local artists get involved. Do you know if that's still the plan or what the status
it's
is on
still
that?
A hope for a plan. We've been working on different things and we haven't got to that again, but we're hoping that we would do with that is to have a competition that would also be sponsored by local businesses, and that's just still in the works. We were hoping to do that this spring, but a lot of other things came up, so that is something we'd still like to do.
Can I follow up? Thank you, and I think it's a brilliant idea, and looking at all that you're doing, I mean, you guys are doing a lot, so I commend you for that, certainly. I just want to let you know, I was speaking to a business owner who is extremely excited about the bike rack design idea, and so I think within our community, it would definitely be, people would be happy to see it.
Anyone else? Looks like, yes, I like the idea of what you're doing, just paying attention to the trailheads, like at Eagle Trailhead. That's kind of a big deal. Did you participate in the Grow Palmer?
I did.
Could
it
you
was a whole thing, but I went some on Friday and some on Saturday.
Came off, yes, forgot those turned off. Yeah, I did both a little bit on Friday and Saturday, so I was able to be part of that. And the thing I was most excited by that is just the connectivity, some of the issues that build up, because we talk about that all the time in our committee, is working on the trails and just how you'd be walking around Palmer and a sidewalk will all of a sudden end and just won't go anywhere. And I walk all the time, so that gets very frustrating. So I think one thing that our committee really wants to address also is just the walkability of Palmer and just getting around easier on trails and
how you get from A to B.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somewhere in the middle, B just kind of
exactly
goes away.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate your service on the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is city manager to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is the week where I talk about the boards and commissions. We've already heard from the Parks and Rec Board today, so I won't cover their information. And you also have the construction report available tonight, and I'll provide some highlights on that. So just leading off some of the items that were discussed by the Board of Economic Development, and this was from July, and they've already had their August meeting, but they heard a presentation from Don Dyer, the Mat-Su Colony Skilled Nursing Facility, on the facility that's going up by where the old visitor center was, and what the potential for jobs and providing a service to our community that facility will have on the Palmer area. Planning and Zoning Commission, one of the topics there was there's an application for a conditional use permit for a car wash. Some of their concerns were really focused on traffic on that corner at the Chevron on Evergreen, and some of the glaciation in the wintertime from the water coming off of vehicles as they come out of there. So they asked for more staff review on that particular item. The Airport Aviation Advisory Commission, one of the items was highlighted, discussed, was the APL, which is the airport layout plan. That has since been sent to the FAA for final review. If they have no further comments, then we'll be able to finalize our master plan and get that to the council for approval once that's done. So things are starting to come together on that end. On the back page, the council a grant report. This is actually the first formal one we received for the grants we've had this year. We've had some informal reports, but this is the first formal one we got from the Museum of History and Art. So I won't go into all the, I won't read it verbally or verbatim, but the attendance, they estimated at 2,150 for that one day event. For the Palmer Wine Walk, they had over 336 people attend that event. That's, again, a one day, couple hour event. And for the Wine Walk, some of the information they received back for some of the stops that they went to, their sales for that one night were comparable to Who Let the Girls Out, which took place in April, which had a large attendance as well. So that event alone, the Wine Walk, helped raise $6,500 to go towards a budget museum that's on top of what we provide them. And we also had some distinguished visitors, Governor Walker and his wife on Friday, and then Senator Murkowski was there on Saturday. So it was a great event. They have some broken down details on the folks that attended, some of the demographics. So it's a pretty good start on how we receive reports on future grants. We'll use this kind of as our model. It's a great effort on their part. Lots of information, and we'll try to pass that on to the next people that receive grants, because it was definitely provide some feedback both on how many people attended and then what the economic impact to the city was to some degree. Some other notes that happened since the report was provided to the clerk. There's no update on the RFP evaluation process for dispatch. I suspect now that it'll probably be late August before we see or hear anything from them. That's just, I guess, the nature of the borough. They told us, they indicated that mid-July. It looks like now, based on how they're going to evaluate those proposals, it'll be mid to late August. Our shared phase four work is ongoing. We've had a few hiccups, most recently yesterday afternoon. Water was inadvertently shut off for about half an hour. And we do have some low pressure in the area that has been adjusted today because we're on a temporary water source. When we have an inadvertent or an accident or an incident, we aren't able to notify folks with a door hanger or door stop. If it's a short term, it's not even timely to do the robocall. We do need to work on some better way to communicate either through Facebook or the webpage, and we do have these incidents, the short-term ones. So we're looking at that. But the process is, if we're going to have an anticipated shutdown, we do door hangers 24 hours before. If we have an unanticipated shutdown that's going to last more than 4 hours, then we do the robocall. Anything less than 4 hours, we'll do an assessment on how long it's going to be. So that's how we approach those things. And again, the short terms, just because of mobile phones and the way we have access to information these days, that we can get better on how we notify folks for these short-term incidents. Celebrate Palmer with the Miners was right after the council meeting last week. They had well over 750 people turn out for that event. That was one of their biggest nights. And I'd also like to thank that because Celebrate Palmer was so close to the finals that we helped them win the ABL title this year. So great news for the Miners, and Celebrate Palmer helped them get over that hurdle. We met with DOT today, and we've met with them for a couple of times on the Glen Highway project. The first meeting was on landscaping, on some of our requests on how they've viewed some of those, and they're very receptive to our previous requests. And we also met today on maintenance agreements, so we don't find ourselves in the same situation we find ourselves in with Bogard. There's no agreement in place. We assumed that the borough was going to maintain Bogard to some degree, and that's not the case. So working with the state, it's always – they're, I don't want to say they're more organized, but they have a process in place, and we're working through that now for maintenance agreements, because there's going to be a lot of frontage roads added to the city that we'll have to maintain. So the earliest we'll see those online would be 2018. I think that's pretty optimistic. I think – any frontage roads along the Glen that will be on the city's responsibility will probably be later than that. But at least having the general concept on what we're going to have to maintain will help us budget in the future, so we're not caught in the middle of a year when they say this road is now complete, it's yours. We're not caught unawares for additional maintenance requirements, especially for snow plowing, because those roads will be different than require some additional equipment or different type of equipment for plowing in the future. So we're doing those things now with the state to get ahead of it, understand what our future costs will be.
So did you, before you keep going, okay. Moving on there, can you give me just a little bit of a brief overview on what landscaping are they still talking about putting in trees and doing the entry features and so on like that?
Yes, Madam Mayor, that is part of the agreement. It's not concrete. There's some trees still in the process of determining what trees would go there that are drought resistant and also able to survive the weather we have up here. The entrance, still working through that, but the entrance to the city at where our current entrance is, where South Colony is going to be adjusted, that is also in part of the plan to make sure that when that gets done, that there still is an entrance that has some landscaping to it. So those features are still there. And then the final piece from last meeting, the Grow Palmer grants, they're not on tonight's schedule, but they will be on the following schedule just because of timing for the resolution to get to the staff and then present it. It will be on the next, it's on the next agenda. So we'll have that discussion on Grow Palmer's grants and the city and the council's approval on acceptance or approval. That'll be for your decision next meeting. So pending any questions, the construction report. Some of the assessment that we've done based on the ability to get work done. Some of these items you'll see are consolidated and some are pushed potentially into the later in the fall. And really, that's the flight service station and the library board replacement. We've consolidated items like that in the past with the public safety, and we're looking to do the same thing to gain some efficiencies and some cost savings by combining those two projects. So we're in the process of working through that to get the scope down so we can complete those projects. And then discussion between the public works director and myself on compression brake signage. We are going to have a sign in the ground this week on Bogard. We have all the signs for the other entrances to the city. We are so close with the state now to get those other three signs installed that if not by state fair time, at least by the end of August, we should have all the signs planted in the ground and Jake Brake signs off our list of things to do. It's definitely a tricky process, and we had some discussions today with DOT on the maintenance piece on the difficulty that we've had trying to just get a sign in the ground and with the maintenance agreements to make sure that we don't have to go through similar items if we're going to maintain these areas that are states' rights of ways, that we don't have to go through a similar process just to do something that's beneficial to the city. There is some type of approval process, but we shouldn't have to go through a similar process just to be able to mow the rights of ways and things like that. So we've highlighted that with DOT today as well, but that is, I think, since January when we passed it, it's been an eye-opener for myself and for our new public works director who's kind of spearheaded this effort the last couple of weeks. So that does conclude my report, pending any questions.
Councilmember Reese. Thank you. I see where you have set the date and time for the second open house regarding the wastewater treatment plant. So I wonder if you can tell us how you plan on getting that notice out to the people and what kind of advance. Have you already started advertising it besides just here or where?
Through the mayor, yes we are. It's on our webpage already. This week we'll send out, instead of a letter, we will have a flyer go out at the end of this week. It's a postcard type with the time, which will be at the depot, and also with there'll be actually a formal presentation this time instead of just ask questions, so that also for that event as well. And then it'll be, as the event unfolds, we'll have handouts for frequently asked questions. Basically, the questions that have come across online and the questions we had from that first meeting, we'll have some answers there that we can additionally provide. But on our webpage, we've already got it set for the 24th, and then this week flyers the little postcards will go out additionally for the rest of the utility users.
And has it been on Facebook? Is this on our Facebook page?
I don't believe so. I'll make sure that we get that out as well. And as we get closer to the event, well, each day is a reminder on Facebook. That seems to be a pretty good tool. It worked for Palmer Pride and it worked for the ball game to get the word out additionally. So that is a tool we will be using.
Is there going to be robocalls?
I will look into that. We did robocalls last time. It was before. So we'll look at doing that earlier. What I'll need to do is look and see how that's set up. As far as who gets the robocall, it may not have gotten everybody that we need to, depending on which distribution list we used.
I know we didn't get one. Thank you, Your Honor.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember.
This is a question to the manager. Is the engineer or somebody from the engineering's office going to be at this presentation?
Correct. We'll have the lead engineer, the project manager, and then we'll also have one of their wastewater Q&C folks there as well to answer any additional questions. That's scheduled right now. We'll definitely have the process engineer there.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm passing out my written report, and this also is available on the back wall in the bottom row for anybody in the audience who would like to get a copy. In here is the monthly board and commission attendance spreadsheets, and that includes all four of our boards and commissions, as will be reported the first meeting of each month. In regards to election, Election Day is October 4th. The clerk's office, Bernadette and myself, are working hard on election material, getting ballots, making sure notices are going out, things of that nature. So working with vendors right now to get everything we need to get ready for October 4th. Some upcoming deadlines. We did have the withdrawal period, a candidacy to withdraw their application and nominating petition. That ended yesterday, and I did not hear from anyone. The declaration of a write-in candidacy is going from August 1st through September 29th, and the last day to register to vote in order to vote at the October 4th election is September 4th. We do have some updates to our city code book. We are up to supplement number 19, and if any council members have a hard code book, please bring that in. I will get those supplements in your book and make sure that you're up to date. But I do want to reiterate that even the supplement 19, the online code is really your go-to place because that is updated right after the council meeting, where the supplement 19 has almost 8 ordinances yet to be codified. So if you're looking at your code book, just make sure that you're also going online to see the most latest codified ordinances. Our AML conference next week is the AML summer legislative meeting. Our Deputy City Clerk Bernadette Paca registered those that stated they were interested in going. So you are registered to show up and get your material there. There are some pertinent documents that were emailed to those who are registered to vote. So please check your email and find that. We also received information for the AML annual conference held in November. The information received is in this material here. Please, if you can review it, get back to me. Let me know if you're interested in attending because I want to get rooms reserved right away. We don't want to have you wandering all over Anchorage because Captain Cook got packed. I don't know. In first year, I don't know how packed that hotel gets, but I know that sometimes we've had people driving miles because the host hotel got booked up. It's been brought to my attention that there's been some email connection issues with the iPads that have been issued to council members. If you can please come in, bring in your tablet, and I will get that all taken care of for you. We'll get you reconnected. So I just want to let y'all know that don't go long without that. We're here for you. Really exciting, saving it for semi-last, is I wanted to let you guys know that we have officially reserved and have the certification, service mark, registration for Alaska at its best. So the city of Palmer is officially Alaska at its best.
Does that mean if somebody uses it, we can...
That is exactly what it means, yes. According to the corporation page. Yes, we are entitled to that, and if anybody else uses it, we do have the ability to approach them and say, please don't use that. So I don't know really what teeth we have behind it, but but it is registered to the city of Palmer. Upcoming meetings are here in the last part of this report. I wanted to note that we don't have any special meetings in August. Our special meeting that was scheduled for September 13th has been moved to September 27th. So the first special meeting that we'll hold is the last meeting in September, starting at 6 p.m. And so we'll see everybody at 7 p.m. for the rest of the meetings in August and the first meeting in September. And that is it for me, Mayor.
Madam Mayor. I believe there was actually one more thing about the last meeting in December.
Yes, thank you very much, Councillor Best. If I may, Madam Mayor. So I didn't mention that. There is, I was going through the code as to verifying our meetings and what needs to be approved, when they need to be approved. And as I read in the code, we are required to hold meetings, the first and second meeting of each month. So I have updated the meeting schedule to include December 27th because I, as staff, do not have the authority to just cancel that meeting. But council, you do, and it is my understanding that that has been past practice. So that is noted in here that sometime, if you do not wish to hold that meeting, Mayor, that it will, in my opinion, the way I interpret the code is it will require council action, not staff action. So.
Madam Mayor.
Councilman Dawson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And just for the record, so by the charter, it says that we must adopt our budget 10 days prior to the last day in December. So that would be the 21st would be the last day that we would be able to have a budgetary meeting to accept the budget. So we could go ahead and leave that scheduled meeting there until we get closer, and we can always cancel it close to the 27th, you know, like we could cancel it on the 13th and just leave it there as a placeholder. But primarily, we've canceled it when it's not necessary. So,
Councilor Reeves, thank you. Does the motion to cancel that need to be an agenda item, or can just the motion be made at a meeting without any agenda notice?
I believe it would be acceptable for it to be a motion on the floor without a action memorandum or anything formally written and reported to the council.
Without it being advertised?
Correct. The advertising requirements are, by our code, is to a week prior. So if we make notice now, we would be needing that requirement, and of course we would be putting it on our website that this meeting is not held, it's canceled by the wish of the council, if that is the wish of the council. So yes, we would meet noticing needs and requirements for that, because prior to the last two, I want to say maybe the last 2 months, December 27th wasn't listed on any of our agendas. This has only been a recent list as I fell upon it.
So would you like us to take an action on that? Is that, or you're just bringing that to our attention so we can put it on a future agenda, or what are you, what do you want to have happen there?
It would be great if you guys would like to take an action tonight, and we can just take care of it this evening and call it good.
Can we do that without doing it, having it on the agenda?
I believe that we can.
Seems to me like just
I'm. Do you agree? No.
Well, in my opinion, it seems to me like there's no reason to, even if we potentially could, we have lots of time.
We do have lots of time.
So why not put it, just err on the side of caution, put it on the a future agenda, and we can put it on the consent agenda. And
have it go through.
Or however it would be. But at least we wouldn't have to worry about notice at all.
True. That is what I will do.
Any further comments on the clerk's reports? Any concerns on the council or meeting attendance? Then any actions that anyone would like to see taken? Seeing and hearing no comments, move on to my report. And just a couple of things that I've attended a number of meetings. We did have the opiate conference this week, which was interesting. A couple facts. I mean, it's just very much an epidemic that we should all be aware of. There's no question about that. The Grow Palmer grant funded conference was great. I didn't get to attend most of it, but I did come for the last of each day and check in. But other than just kind of anything in particular, I have a meeting coming up with the one of the persons or one of the entities that has plans to build a extended care facility this week, and they are talking about potentially putting one in each community. It's different than the facility that may be built by the hospital. There's another company that's looking at putting a facility in each city or close to each city, probably inside of our city limits. So I'll be meeting with them this upcoming week. And other than that, I think that concludes my mayor's report. I guess I'll invite them, make sure and remind the manager to, I'll let you know when that is so you can attend. I think that would be good to have you at that meeting. Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, thank you. I'd like to commend the clerk for the Alaska at its best registration. I think that's great. Thank you very much for making that happen. I know that was something that was high on the agenda for some council members. Secondly, I'd like to introduce one of our attorneys from our office who's interested in municipal law activities. And I felt that a Palmer Council meeting would be a good example of democracy in action. So
local government at its best.
Local government at its best. So I have Ms. Bonnie Bull in the audience there, who goes by Betsy. And she's here and interested in municipal law and will be watching you closely tonight. That concludes my report. Well, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right, very good. Welcome. Now is the time for audience participation, a time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing someone coming forward, welcome.
So my name is Terry Snyder. I live in downtown Palmer. Wasn't sure you were going to have actually audience participation on the first order of business that you have after this on term limits. So I kind of wanted to talk about that. I listened intently a couple of times to your council meeting last time. There were some good arguments on both sides, actually. I was the only one person at that time who had submitted written comment. I see by looking at what the clerk is putting in the back of the room that you now have several. But I kind of want to remind you of what was happening. I did some research back when Palmer became a city and adopted this charter. There was about 1,000 people here, it looks like. We're about 7,000 now. Had a budget of about $250,000. I think we're at $2 million. 11 million now. Thank you, Nate. So a lot has changed since then. Egan was governor. Harry Truman was president. The 22nd Amendment was passed, limiting terms of the president. The cost of a stamp was 3 cents. The average family was making about $3,000, $4,000 a year. We had our first test for color TV. Gas was 19 cents a gallon. Eggs were 24 cents a dozen. Loaf of bread was 6 cents. And so there's been a lot of changes. But I stand by what I said before. I think you need to have a balance of fresh eyes and historical presence here. I honor the service that people have done. And there's nothing in this ordinance that says you can't come back and give another swing at it. But I think it's good for people on every kind of body to walk away and walk away from the table. And then if you feel like you can have something to contribute, come back. I think Palmer is a much bigger city than when this charter was written. There's new people all the time. The average age is 31. It's a changing thing. And maybe the code does need work. It probably does by reading it. But you don't have to take it all on. You can take codes on in pieces. So there's nothing that prevents you from passing this tonight and then make some other changes of the code. And let me remind you, a voter initiative could be a lot different than what you have in front of you. It could be 2-year terms. It could be 1-year terms. it could be a lot different than the reasonable suggestion that you have here. And Palmer's pretty good about passing voter initiatives, I know. I was part of one for Smoke-Free Palmer. So I hope that the council will save that angst, put it out there, put it on the ballot, and let's see what the voter has to say about this. Thanks.
Anyone else who would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that does bring us to the public hearing for resolution number 16-020, submitting the question of amending charter section 3.2, terms of office to limit mayor and council member terms to three-year terms to the city's qualified voters at the October 4th, 2016 City of Palmer election. As noted in item 16-033, this is the second public hearing of two, and that public hearing is now open. So we have public comments. I'm going to go ahead and ask the clerk to read those into the record.
Public comments are being handed out to the City Council, as well as provided on the back for the public. I'm going to start with the public comment received. This is an opponent from Joe Lawton here in Palmer, Alaska, as noted here on the letter. Dear Council Member, you currently struggle with a term limits proposal. Generally speaking, I approve of term limits. This is especially true in partisan politics where elected officials may control large amounts of money and are under constant bombardment from lobbyists and the public. Has this become the norm in the several years since I left the council? When I think back to the titans who served on council for many years, George Carte, Diana Long, Dave Ingalls, Willard Johnson, John Dolance, thank you, Kathy Vanover, Henry Gnott, for example, I am hard-pressed to imagine a more representative council by their removal. In fact, it has historically been a challenge to find selfless persons to serve on council, and I regret to see that field narrowed. Further, I don't recall public criticism of long-serving members. I myself was on for 10 or 11 or 12 years and was never knowingly accused of outstaying my welcome. Finally, it occurred to me that with the likes of Steve Carrington and Brad Hansen and Diana Long and Kathy Vanover involved, it was just fine if I retired. Unless there are current problems of which I am unaware, I encourage you to defer term limits action until it affects the integrity of the council. Why make a largely thankless job less appealing? Sincerely yours, Joe Lawton. I'm reading into the record, written record, and testimony that are proponents. The email is from Backcountry Bikes. Dear Mayor, Council Members, and City Clerk, this letter is in reference to Resolution 16020 regarding term limits for the Mayor and City Council Members. As a home and business owner in the City of Palmer, I think this question should go to the voters this coming October. I would urge you to pass this resolution. Thank you for your time. Julie and Tony Berberich in Palmer, Alaska. Sabrina Combs. Dear City Council, I am unable to attend tonight's meeting but wish to express my support for enacting term limits for council members. I believe that term limits allow for fresh ideas and opinions to cycle through the leadership of our great town. While I believe the seated council is doing a great job, it's important to never become complacent. By enacting term limits, we can empower council members to work quickly and efficiently on issues before passing the torch to another worthy member. I urge you to allow this issue on the ballot and let Palmer voters decide if term limits should be enacted. Thank you, Sabrina Combs. No address provided. Scott Faber. Dear Mayor Johnson and members of the Palmer City Council, I am writing to express my support for including the term limit question on the October 4, 2016 City of Palmer election. I believe the best term limit option would be 2 consecutive full terms followed by a break in service. However, if the current suggested language for Chapter 3, Section 3.2 of the Charter of the City of Palmer is the only option, it is better than no term limits. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this matter. Scott Faber, Palmer, Alaska. Another item here in the report is his original email to me stating that, "Dear Miss Sally, I'm currently out of town and won't be able to make it to the August 9th City Council meeting. Is it possible to submit comments concerning term limits for City Council by email? Any help would be greatly appreciated." My response to him was, "Yes, please email me and I will include them," as what I just read was his comment email to me. Sally Hitchcock. "Dear Norma, hope you could let the council members know that I have been in favor of term limits for years and hope a good decision can be made at this time. Our small town has had many changes, mostly for the better, but I feel new ideas, new faces could really improve what is working well and change what needs to be changed. Thanks, Sally Greek Hitchcock, Hitchcock Piano Studio on Edinburgh Drive." Kate Jordan. "I am in favor of term limits for 3 main reasons. First, to bring in fresh eyes to solve existing issues in the city and bring new ideas to make our city more successful. Second, to replace complacent, negative, or lazy assembly members who are doing little or nothing at all to enhance our city. Third, to replace assembly members who only represent a small group of constituents and are blind and deaf to other member groups." Bruce Jordan, Equestrian Acres. Kate Jordan. "I am in favor of term limits and wanted on the ballot." Catherine Jordan, Palmer. Jan Newman. "I am unable to attend tonight's City Council meeting to testify, but would like it to go on record that I am very much in favor of term limits and at the very least would like to see it on the ballot. Thank you. Jan Newman." No address provided. Robin Schroeder. "Dear Council, I would like to express my support for the Resolution 16020 to bring the topic of term limits to the voters. I strongly believe that occasional change is necessary to build a strong and vibrant community, as well as build engagement and trust between public servants and citizens. If I understand this resolution correctly, though, it does institute term limits on its own, but simply puts the issue to the voters. The City Council, a body of elected officials, should not be the ones to unilaterally decide whether or not term limits apply. Seems like a possible conflict of interest to me. Indeed, it makes sense to put it to the voters. If the majority of voters decide term limits are not wanted, they will not be put in place. It's as simple as that. Only with this resolution, the perhaps more impartial, voting public is allowed the opportunity to weigh in on the matter in a meaningful way. Let the issue be decided by the voters of Palmer. Thank you. Sincerely, Robin Schroeder, Palmer, Alaska." Rebecca Case Turner. "Please cast a vote in favor of term limits for both the council members and the mayor. Thank you. Rebecca Turner, Wasilla, Alaska." Jill Valerius. "Dear Mayor, Council Members, and City Clerk, this letter is in reference to Resolution 16020 regarding term limits for the Mayor and City Council Members. As a home and business owner in the City of Palmer, I think that this question should go to the voters this coming October. I would urge you to pass this resolution. Thank you for your time. Jill Valerius." No address. It is noted in here that it is from Now Health. She mentions she's a business owner. That is all the written testimony I've received.
All right. We have the written testimony. Is there anyone in the audience who would now like to come forward under the public hearing for resolution number 16-020?
My name is Dave Fuller. I've spoke on this before when it first came up, and I also spoke when this council was discussing creating seats for each of the individual seats to be voted on versus the open election that we currently have. And just to reinforce what I stated earlier, I think if anything was to change the way that the council, the body, is elected, it should be put out to the people and not decided by the elected officials. You know, your job is basically you're basically hired by the people to doggone manage the bills, you know, manage the infrastructure and do that job. How you're doggone elected, it should be up to how the people are, you know, put to the decision of the people. And, you know, I thought Mr. Hansen had a great argument a couple weeks back, and it made me step back and think. But in reality, I think ultimately it comes down to, you know, the people should decide who gets elected or how they run the election and how the doggone are appointed to their jobs and maintain that that seat. And so basically I'd say that aside from a great argument from Mr. Hansen, I would be totally for term limits and putting it towards the vote of the people. Thank you.
Hi, Maggie Obi again. I'm a resident of Palmer and a local business owner, and I would just like to speak in favor of term limits. I would like to see it on the ballot. I'd like to vote on that. So I'm speaking in favor of term limits, and I hope that you consider allowing us to vote on that. Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional come forward, the public hearing for 16-020 is now closed. Do we have a motion? We don't have a motion already? I thought we did, but.
Right, so we had.
We do have a pending
motion.
We do have a pending motion that's been made and seconded. It has also had been amended under had one primary amendment to change the terms to three-year terms, of which was included in this discussion in the public hearing. All right, any further comments? I want to make a comment. I really appreciate Joe Lawton's letter. And I do also appreciate Councilmember Hansen's time on the council. I think it's in no way has anything to do with any individuals and their service. I think 9 years is still a long time to be able to serve. But what really did strike me, and this is not a certified clerk number, that's of me reading, knowing the people that are in, not, this is knowing the people from the public hearing that had the letters. So I first noted that some of the people lived outside the city limits, and there were some question marks as to who might not live outside the city limits, but from the people that I know live in the city limits, we had six people speaking in favor that live inside the city limits to have this put on the ballot. So, I mean, it's very clear that the residents also are interested in seeing it put on the ballot. Anyone else ready to, Councilmember Betts?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At the last public hearing, I asked the makers of the motion or those that are supporting this to explain where this process is broken. And I still have not heard where the process is broken, but there's a lot of folks that allude to the idea that there are a lot of folks that are sitting on this board that have been here a long time. And what I did is I went back 20 years. We actually had a spreadsheet sent to us by I can't remember who had sent this original spreadsheet, but they had started some homework on the council and the body, the folks that had sat on council. And we went back 20 years, and there are only 4 years in that 20 that there was not change on the council. 4 out of 20. And if you go back to those years, 2002... there was only three people that ran for those open seats, two seats. 2005, there was actually three seats because one seat was a one-year term, and you had two incumbents run for the two full-term seats, and you had two individuals run for the one-term seat. When you go to 2012, you had only three people running for those two seats. And Mr. Eldon is sitting in the audience tonight, and he was one that ran against two incumbents and did not win that seat. In 2014, again, you have Mr. Eldon running for an open for those two seats, and the two incumbents won. So I'm not seeing the large number of folks running up against these individuals and not being able to get in, because all the other years you had somebody fresh and new winning a seat on the body. So really, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? Are we not, by the process that we currently have, already accomplishing that? Again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Councilmember Combs.
Thank you. I appreciate the fact that Councilmember Best did all of that homework. Councilmember Hansen isn't here. He's the other one that challenged to have something concrete brought forward. And I'm not hearing it yet either. I'm sorry. I totally believe in and trust the fellows that put our charter together, and I don't take making a charter amendment or a charter change lightly. I think it's something that has to be deliberated. And I'm not against term limits totally. I don't care for the process that's been used for this particular amendment to our charter. I think there's still too many questions in regards to it. I'm not confident that it would pass the sniff test. It could be questioned on two or three different levels. So I've advocated before taking some more time to put it together, and that there's other parts that it does affect. And we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that there's a whole section in the charter regarding elections, and if we're going to change and update one portion, we need to have some mechanism in looking at all of it. And that's just the way I operate. So, again, I appreciate Councilmember Best's research in this, because one of the first questions is the only phrase I hear is fresh eyes, and we have had fresh eyes. And we have fresh eyes bring ideas to this chamber on a frequent basis, and I have never seen in all my years, whether I was sitting on this side or in that side, never seen the council turn them away. So I'm still at a loss about why and why now. Thank you.
Councilmember LaFrance.
Thank you. I've thought a lot about this, and you know, a lot's been said about this initiative, and some of the opponents would lead you to believe that it would result in a dramatic turnover of the council, and that simply isn't true. I mean, we're talking about asking council folks to take a single year off after nine served. This is not a dramatic change to the charter, and I don't think any time you put something in front of the voters that it is taken lightly. I really don't believe that. I think the voters will not take this lightly. They'll deliberate it, they'll deliberate on it, and they'll decide whether they want to proceed in this manner. So I'd like to address some of the specific complaints about this, though. There's this idea that bureaucracy is out of control, or that if you bring term limits in, it will lead to out-of-control bureaucracy. And if you just listen to the deliberation of this body, you'd be convinced that if you eliminated term limits from the borough, that body would run great, and the bureaucracy would align itself perfectly, and we wouldn't have nutty ideas like this ferry coming out. And we all know that is not true. I mean, it's term limits of the borough has been blamed for a lot of things in these hearings, and I don't think any of those claims can be substantiated. So I certainly take issue with that. And in fact, reading up on this, I came across a political analyst named James Page who studied Congress. And he found that the most senior Congress people were actually the ones least willing to question the premise of the bureaucrats in front of them, simply because they became comfortable working as part of that government and didn't have those fresh eyes to take a look at the bureaucracy from an outside perspective, which I think is important. And along these lines, I don't think I'm the most junior member of the council, and I haven't been here a year yet. And I think that I'm gaining an understanding of how the city government works. And I don't think it's the Byzantine network that we see at the federal level. I think that within a year, I'll be fairly competent. Some council members might disagree with that. But I think I will be fairly competent. I will be able to make those or ask those difficult questions and make those hard decisions alongside my peers up here without any major issue. Then the next big objection was this idea that we're limiting people's power by asking them to decide on term limits because ultimately they don't get to decide who they want to vote on. And that's true. And we do this continually. To run for governor of the state of Alaska, you have to be at least 30 years old. There's a limit. You have to have lived in the state of Alaska for 7 years immediately prior to running for governor. That's another limit. We do that now, and that's what makes a functioning democracy work well. We look at the processes behind our elections, and we make sure that they're well-suited for welcoming new people in and having a fresh exchange ideas that allow for a competent government. I'm speaking too much. I don't like to speak too much, but there we go. To this idea that it's not broken, it isn't broken. I respect the council members very much. I do. And the past ones who have served many years, I respect them. They've created the city that I was born in and that I love dearly. And I can't thank them enough. However, there was nothing wrong with a 2015 Ford. But each year, Ford goes out and they make improvements on it. Because if we want to be Alaska at its best, we need to continually look to improve our city. And I think that's what this issue does. So to go back, because when I initially brought this forward, I had two things I wanted to accomplish with this. I wanted to help reduce cynicism amongst people in Palmer. Because if you knock on the doors in Palmer and talk to people, some of them, don't have good feelings about city government. And I think what this does is it cracks open that door and it says to people, you're welcome to be involved. And so maybe what is broken is that people aren't involved. You talked about how on some years only a few people ran for election. Well, maybe they felt excluded from the process. So I think this initiative will help address that. So anyway, I've spoken enough.
Anyone else? Councilmember Carrington.
Well, I must say, at least tonight, the most challenging person I find is Councilwoman Combs' logic as far as looking at something with the charter. You know, it should be something that's dealt with more carefully. But I don't know. I guess I'm intrigued. I was intrigued with the whole idea of term limits. And I realize that I'm the one that's served just a term here and a term there and I've still managed to lose a couple elections as an incumbent. But I'm still intrigued to look at doing things in a different way. And, you know, maybe if this isn't the way, then maybe we need a charter convention or something. I don't know. So I'm still supporting this.
All right. Thank you. All right, are we ready to vote?
Your Honor.
No, Councilmember Breese.
Thank you. I was in favor of this. I was the co-sponsor of the one for the borough years ago. My concern with this, and I want to run it by the clerk and the attorney again, just to be sure, because it came up in the last meeting, is that the council and the mayor's is a combined position. So if someone serves two times for mayor, they could, and they wanted to run for the council, they'd only be able to serve one term, one three-year term for council. Or vice versa, right? And that's the correct interpretation of what we have before us.
Yes, that is how it was written. That is my understanding of how it is written, is how it would lay out, that if someone is serving, that is a combined, a person serving as the mayor or councilman may not serve on the council for more than three consecutive full terms without a break in service. That it is a three-term consecutive term no matter what seat you are serving on.
Madam Mayor, I concur with the clerk's analysis. I think when you read the totality of the charter amendment, and also as you're reading it, it's important to recognize that the mayor is part of the council but elected separately as the mayor. So that's why the mayor and councilmen, and it's not gender neutral, it's just the language in the charter for now. So it doesn't say council person or something like that. May not serve on the council for more than three consecutive full years without a break in service for at least one full year. And that means the mayor or the councilman. If you're serving on the council in either of those capacities, you get three-year terms. And that's how that applies. Another important factor in this resolution is the effective date, because it becomes effective in 2017. So that's the first election year in which council members are affected by the term limits. So if you have two terms left from your last election, you would serve a total of 11 years, because you'd have your two more years, and then after 2017, that's when the three-year terms would start.
Thank you.
So I guess since the mayor and the council are elected separately, I mean, you run for those offices separately, I am not in favor of them it being combined in this instance. So that gives me great concern. And then also, if there's a person on the council that had served three terms or three terms plus, and they run in 2017, it would be a council position because we're electing a mayor this year, they would be precluded from running. Is that correct? So it's really, we're making it retroactive. Or they can run in 17 and then serve for three more terms?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Getty.
The effective date of this ordinance would not be until 2017.
Right,
so it would be those elected in 2017 would be affected by the terms, those terms, and people elected thereafter. But people in their terms already are not going to be affected, because the idea underlying the concept that you see before you is, don't get into the morass of truncated terms where people that are serving all of a sudden are not serving anymore, even though they've been elected for 3 years. And that's why you see the effective date of 2017. And that will only affect the races in 2017, not those already serving. Is that clear?
Not entirely.
Great.
So for example, I think it's right, Councilmember Best is up in 2017. And he served at that point for 12 years, would he be able to run for another three terms?
Yes.
Mr. Getty, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I understood, okay.
So going back to the mayor and the council position, I think because they are elected separately, that I think that the terms should be separate. That's what we did at the borough, and that's what I believe. And I don't see that in here, so that's concerned me. And as I look up, and I can't remember all the faces, but at least the bottom line of mayors, outside of George Carte, and I think he served, what, 10 years and 3 months or something?
Five terms,
yeah. So out of those 2, 4, 6, 7 mayors that we've had, there's only been one that has served, you know, more than 9 years. So I would like to, and if this fails, I would like to have this, you know, brought back to us in January and to work on that, because I don't feel that you can take and say to somebody, just because you've held this office, now you can't hold this office. And that's a major concern to me.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Getty.
Thank you. Just a couple of points of clarification. The borough is a second-class borough and doesn't have a charter. So I wasn't there when you worked on that term. I don't remember being there. And so there's a little bit of a difference there. And so this is a charter amendment that would go to the voters. So I just wanted to point that, those distinctions out.
We just made the motion, and it was probably an ordinance, and then it just passed by the assembly, and that was it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, so would you like to make an amendment or to that effect?
Yeah, I don't think there probably is the support to take and divide them. And then the thing is, we don't have the opportunity then, because this has to be decided tonight, I believe, in order to be on the ballot. Is that correct? We're in a time crunch. And so that would then preclude the public from being able to speak. And that's why I asked for this third public hearing, was when we changed it from 2 to 3. I wanted to hear what the public had to say. And if we change it even more tonight, they're not going to get a chance to weigh in. So that's why I said that, you know, I'd be interested, if that does fail, is to bring it back at the beginning of the year. And maybe there's not the support for my recommendation. So then it would just.
How about I make that amendment, and then we can see if it goes up or down. So I'd like to make an amendment to divide the mayor and council, so the mayor could serve 3 terms, and they could serve on council for 3 terms, and then be mayor for 3 terms. However, that would need to be rewritten. Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, if I may. This is a charter amendment, and we thought very carefully about that. And it may seem that it's not that complex when you're looking at it, but believe me, to think these through and make sure that you're really correct and have the correct language that the voters can understand, that people can understand, is it takes some discussion back and forth and some analysis. And I would just be a little bit nervous about amending this charter amendment tonight on the floor and breaking it apart. I'd just be fearful we might not get adequate language. That's, you know, it's up to the council and the mayor what you'd like to do. And, you know, certainly I'll respond to the task to try and draft some language. But I think that sometimes when we do things on the floor, we may go back, wake up tomorrow morning and think, well, maybe we should have looked a little more closely at those issues.
Okay. Are we ready to vote?
No, I have a second. You made a motion. So either we need a second or a withdrawal of that motion.
Well, on the advice of the
I said I will make a motion.
Okay.
I didn't make a motion.
No formal motion.
I didn't make a motion. I was waiting for the attorney to weigh in, but I could. I mean, I could continue with it if I...
I just wanted to get clarification on that one. So we do not have a formal motion on the floor. Is that right?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Getty.
If I may throw a couple of points in that may or may not be helpful. If the effective date of this is 2017, that's when it would be effective. So if you put it on the ballot in 2017, after thinking about it in January, however you want to do it, whether you want to have the mayor in a separate portion of the charter, you could make it effective in 2017 and you get to the same place that you would get to with whatever you, with this language that you currently have. I don't know if the council has an interest in breaking these apart. Like I say, we worked hard to get this addressed in the language that we thought best met the discussion at the table and the majority of the council. But I think that even if you worked on this in January and put something in the 2017 election, it wouldn't delay the implementation of the term limit idea, assuming passage by the voters and assuming that's what council wanted to do.
So when we originally started this, I think, wasn't it just council and that we added in mayor after discussion?
My understanding was that
whatever the original proposed language.
Yeah, the original was both mayor and city council together, because one of the things that multiple members of this body have tried to make clear to me is that in Palmer, the mayor is a member of the council, and since we have a kind of a weak mayor system, that it's essentially grouping them together makes the most sense given our structure of the city. It appears that I might have a misunderstanding of that. So if anyone wants to educate me, I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Councilor DeVries.
Thank you. The city of Houston, the council, everybody runs for the council, and the council is elected then from the mayor is elected then from the council. And in that situation, there's not two separate elections. And so then, to me, this language would be perfect for that situation. But where somebody has to file to run for mayor and they have to file to run for council, to me, that's two separate offices, even though, as you said, the council, the mayor serves as, quote, just a seventh council person. But you have to file and you run a completely different campaign for those different offices. So that's my concern.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Getty.
Thank you. And what we tried to do here was capture the concept of the mayor as part of the council, but recognize that the mayor wasn't a separate seat to not be included in the term limitation. So everyone on the council, whether you're the mayor or a council person, gets three-year terms regardless. And so it's not like you could run for mayor, have three terms, and then run for council and have three more terms, or actually have, three more terms for a total of six terms altogether. So you get three-year terms under this language. That's how it works, and that's how we crafted it. I understand.
All right, are we ready to vote? All those in favor, and we're going to do this by roll call. Madam Clerk has asked to have this by roll call, so we're going to go ahead and have a roll call vote.
Can the clerk read us the motion that's on the floor since it was made at the last meeting?
Excuse me?
Can the clerk read us the motion that's on the floor since the motion was made at the last meeting, so not only we know what we're voting on, but the audience understands how we're voting?
It is on the screen right now because tonight it was in the minutes that are in the packet. The motion that's on the floor is to approve resolution number 16020 as amended. The amendment was to read submitting, changing the term limits to instead of two three-year terms, it is now 3 3-year terms. So it would be submitted the question of amending Charter Section 3.2, Terms of Office, to limit mayor and council member terms to 3 3-year terms to the city's qualified voters at the October 4, 2016 City of Palmer election. Thank you. You're welcome. And I'll keep that up on the screen as well.
Roll call vote.
Council member Pete LaFrance?
Yes.
Council member Linda Combs?
No.
Council member Richard Best?
No.
Council member Edna DeVries?
No.
Council member Steve Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Delana Johnson?
Yes.
And Deputy Mayor Brad Hansen is absent. The motion is 3 yes, 3 no. Motion fails for lack of majority.
All right, let's take a break. All right, we're back in order. We have our next item, which is a public hearing for resolution number 16-018, authorizing City of Palmer to issue utility revenue bonds in the principal amount not to exceed $5 million to finance water and wastewater utility and related capital projects, and to submit the question of the issuance of such bonds to the qualified voters of the city at the October 4, 2016 city election, as noted in IM 16-031. This is the third public hearing of three, and that public hearing is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to resolution number 16-018, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, public hearing is now closed. Do we have a motion to approve resolution number 16-018?
We do have a pending motion on the floor.
Okay, we have a pending motion on the floor. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor, please signify. Excuse me, Mr. Carrington.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I was just wondering, we'd had a little bit of discussion about whether the amount needed to be, you know, how solid we were on the $5 million. I was just curious if we get a little staff report.
You said larger than $5
million? There was some discussion about whether it needed to be $5 million. We'll just leave
or
it.
Less than. Okay, Mr. Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We did go back and look at our master plan and our proposed funding options for that, and To go less than $5 million would potentially put us at risk. $5 million again is not something we have to use if we don't have to. It just gives us the authority to borrow if we need to borrow up to $5 million. Again, based on the history, we had some of the numbers that I've presented from previous grants and previous bonds on how we've used those. We've been very successful in getting matching funds, getting grants, and low-interest loans, and that's the direction we're going again. But talking to the engineers and then looking at the draft master plan on the options that are there, I don't recommend that we go below $5
million. Anyone else? All those in favor of authorizing action, approving resolution number 16-018, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. All right, that brings us to the action memorandum 16-059, authorizing city manager to amend the professional services agreement with HDL Engineering Consultants in an amount not to exceed $64,147 for design and engineering services for the shared area water and street improvement project phase four additional extension. Do we have a motion to authorize?
So moved.
Second. Made and seconded. Action memorandum 16-059. Any discussion? Yes,
Your Honor. Since this deals with the street that I live on, I would like to have the attorney's opinion to see if I can recluse myself.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Gatting.
Since this is a matter that affects your street generally, the city in general, I don't believe that there's a conflict, but if you have any other information you'd like to present, that's up to you. But I think just living on a street that's going to be impacted by a project like that probably does not create a conflict.
Your Honor, if any of the council people have a different opinion, I'll gladly bow to that. Is everybody comfortable with the attorney's opinion?
Do you have any, you see any financial gain for yourself?
Well, we have water now, and hopefully we'll have water after the project is done. I don't, and we have good water pressure now, I don't know that it's going to make any difference, and it's probably going to be more of a nuisance than anything else.
Well, that's the criteria for conflict of interest, is your personal financial gain. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. All right. The approved action memorandum 16-059. Motion to authorize action memorandum 16-060, authorizing city manager to negotiate and execute change order number one with Dirtworks Inc. for the shared area water and street improvement project phase four in the amount not to exceed $490,000. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor?
I think the clerk has a map to pass out.
All right, very good. We have a map.
Is this the last one?
Is this the second last one we had?
This is what?
Second last piece of information we're going to have on the table?
It's the last one.
All right, are we ready to vote?
This doesn't include the project we're talking about.
Councilmember DeRees?
This does not include the project that we're talking about.
It's the dotted line.
Yeah, it doesn't. Okay.
That's two.
We have a motion before us. It's been made and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please say no. All right, we have approved action memorandum 16-060. We have no unfinished business. We have no new business. And Madam Clerk has a pile of things that were placed on the table. Would you please?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Yes, I do. Thank you. We have the Park Recreation and Cultural Resources Advisory Board Chair's written report. We have the clerk's report, written testimony pertaining to resolution number 16020, and a map pertaining to action memorandum 16060 showing the new construction area on Bonanza Street.
All This is our final opportunity for our audience participation. Time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing no one come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to council member comments, starting with council member DeVries and council member Combs.
Thank you, Your Honor. One of the things that I would like to see is, I understand that in our code, we have an ordinance regarding cleanup after your dog, right? And one of the areas that I see, probably because I drive by it, is half a dozen times during the daytime, is the area where Friday Fling is, and you know, that whole strip there by their railroad. And I see people constantly taking their dogs there, and people are parked at the tourist center. People will come across the street from being parked or in the, and they let their dogs use that as a bathroom site. And then you have events, Friday Fling, other events there where the children are playing in that area, rolling around and stuff. And so I would just like support that they there be some signs put up there, you know, clean up after, pick up after your dog. And earlier tonight, we did have the report from the rec that they had established some dog waste containers. And so I'd like to see that some signs put up there regarding that. Thank you. And that's all I have, Your Honor.
Councilmember Combs.
Thank you. The Board of Economic Development this past week, I'll preempt the city manager briefly. We had a terrific speaker that evening. It was the CEO of MTA. And it just makes me even more certain in my mind that, you know, we've done a great deal to make sure that Palmer is going to be able to weather whatever uncertain economic times we have coming. And that's because we have such great relationships with so many different organizations, such as MTA, MEA, service organizations, our business community, etc. One of the things that he told us during the course of that meeting is that MTA has made the commitment of $240 million over the next 10 years in their service areas with regards to fiber optics. And what a boon that's going to be when businesses are looking for places to locate. It's going to make particularly Palmer very, very attractive. So I found that really interesting. The same evening, the board did pass a resolution in support of the Mansu Colony facility project that the city manager did allude to. That's the nursing facility that's proposed to be being by the Mansu Regional Hospital. This past Wednesday at the Chamber of Commerce, I was able to meet one of the principals in the company that has purchased that land, and they are 100% committed to this. So if you feel so inclined, if you think that it's as great an idea as I do, that will bring too close to our area, very close to our area here in Palmer, 135 skilled jobs, which goes a long way to start replacing some of the jobs we're going to be losing with the prison closing. They have a website where you can, you know, put some sort of email together for your support. Or on August 18th, and I do plan on going to this, at the administration building out at the Mansu College, there's a telephonic hearing with the state of Alaska concerning the certificate of need that they have requested from the state for that facility, and that's between 4 and 6 p.m. So I'll be at AML part of the day, and then I plan on going to this hearing. So one way or the other, I urge you to consider supporting this. I feel that this is a real important piece of what's going to be going on in our area over the next few years, and they're ready to break ground. They've purchased the land. They're ready to go. They've got a terrific commitment to the community. So, thank you.
Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too attended the Grohl Palmer 2-day event. There was some great conversations that happened. There was a lot of conversations about connectivity and bringing people closer to an understanding with vegetables and how things are grown and whatnot. But a lot of what I heard was about the connectivity, the trails, ways to entice people to be on the trails, and also then the trails are a way to entice people to understand vegetables and fruits and whatnot, stuff that we grow here in Alaska to kind of help people out. And then there was also the personal connectivity too, trying to educate folks on how to prepare vegetables and that kind of stuff. And that's one of those life skills that many of us don't think about, that, you know, think it's common sense stuff to many folks. But, you know, you've got a younger generation that and different home structures as well, that are not passing down some of these things. So the connectivity of knowledge is a big thing too, and that was very interesting. Also was able to participate in one of the local farm tours, and for those of you who have not gone on one of those farm tours, I highly recommend it. Not just to get to traipse around and see what everybody else is growing, educate yourself even more about some of the new things that are being grown in our area. Also the history as well. You get to immerse yourself in a little bit more of the history of things that you thought that you might have known but didn't really know exactly. So that was kind of cool. One of the farms that we also got to go to was at a sod farm. When you think of farms out in the valley, you don't think of sod farms, but we've got quite a few or a couple of large sod farms around here. But also the afternoon of spending it with folks that have an appreciation for our area. Many of them, all of them were from Alaska, but many of them were from the valley itself too. So great opportunity to engage in conversation with folks. And then I also went to the opiate conference put on by Senator Dan Sullivan. Also attended was Lisa Murkowski and Don Young by video phone. But the commitment is there, at least in the discussion of things and the understanding of the issue, the tragedies, how it's affecting the families. There was, I believe, 6 ladies that spoke as recovering addicts and were in process of going through cleaning up, and how it affected them and their families. If that didn't bring you to a cold understanding of some of the issues, it was very eye-opening. But it was good to meet with folks that are in the medical field, and folks, families, members that are affected by this. So it is a community issue, and I would actually ask for many folks to reach out to members within the medical community and other departments that are trying to deal with this and educate yourself a little bit.
Hatcher Pass Epic is this Saturday. For those of you that don't know, it's a bike ride over Hatcher Pass down to Willow and back into Palmer. It starts and ends at Backcountry Bike and Ski. They throw a great event. I encourage everyone to swing by. Watch the bikers take off. I believe starts at 10, and then people trickle in as early as 2 to 6. It's just a good time, and you get to see a different side of the community. A lot of bikers coming out from Anchorage and other parts of the state. Speaking of bikes, part of the Local Foods, Local Places initiative was I was asked to conduct an informal bike audit of the city of Palmer, just to really figure out where those connectivity issues are. So if anyone wants more information about that, please feel free to contact me. And I had a cup of coffee downtown earlier this week, yesterday, and I ran into two women who were unloading bikes from the back of their car, and I got to talking with them. Turns out they had come out from Anchorage because they had heard that there was a great bike trail that went from Palmer out around the Butte and back. And they had lunch in town, had a great time. So this is an issue that can bring people into town, and it also serves our community very well by allowing people to travel by bikes or on foot safely. I support the idea of a anti-doggy do sign by the railroad tracks, so you can put my name behind that one as well. And that's it.
And I just want to give kudos to the clerk for all that massive amount of papers she gave us. And I guess I'm wondering if those things that are given out as on the table, if those end up going onto the website as kind of addendum, or do they get... It's just good information, so I'm just curious if it gets available for those that are following.
Madam Mayor. Is this a procedural?
No, I forgot right. One thing.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I actually would ask.
Just keep it short.
I will. Thank you. I will ask for council support to bring forward at the next meeting, if at all possible, the discussion for the city clerk residency requirement that we had addressed before we had hired the city clerk. That is before us right now. I'd like to ask for council support to have that discussion brought before us again.
I'll support that.
All done? Anything else? All right, very good. All right, well, I would like to, just a couple things. I know just in, for all the people that remember Tony Pipple, dog parks was always something he brought up. But Palmer needed a dog park. Just something to add to the city manager's plate there as he thinks about, what's happening when visitors do come to town or whatever. I don't know. Tony's probably available for comment. One thing I do think as we get further along in discussion of the state budget, and even as we talk about the extended care facilities, whatever might be the discussion we need to have, but the city needs to start prioritizing. Well, let me take that back. I don't know what they need to prioritize exactly, but this we do live in a town that has a lot of governmental services, including the Pioneer Home, and as the state budget declines, it's not just the city's budget, because I think the city is in good shape, but there's a number of other places in town that depend on state funding, and I think it would behoove the city to start being part of some community discussions with the leaders of a variety of organizations that depend on state funding and how that's going to impact our entire community as a whole, as far as, we all need to be working together to talk about what's happening. I think the impact can be significant, and if we're not thinking about it, then we may be caught unawares. So I'd just like to put that out there, so as the city goes forward in this next couple months, that we might want to have some community leaders in this kind of discussion. And with no further business before the council, meeting is adjourned.